We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
I read a book about the death penalty recently. Have you thought much about the death penalty?
You were telling me about this when we were celebrating your birthday. You told me about the book you're reading about the death penalty.
Dude, and that's the thing, is I feel like I keep bringing down the mood, bringing up the death penalty recently. I literally was with my grandparents yesterday and I was like, well, I recently just read a book about the death penalty. Have you guys thought about the death penalty recently? Anyway.
Do you want to expand?
not in this forum. We don't have to include any of that. But that's the thing, is I keep like harshing vibes. And that's how I ruin parties.
It was just, you didn't want to talk about it more. So I was like, I don't know if you specifically didn't want to talk about it. I can't keep going down this path.
Death penalty, but it's also like, hello, welcome to our Glee podcast.
And hey, Glee touched on every topic imaginable, and that means we can too. We're empowered to do so.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to our little podcast. Maybe you've heard of it. It's brand new. This is only our third episode. We're talking about Glee, we're talking about life, we're talking about merriment, we're talking about friendship, we're talking about aspirations, what it means to be human, parenthood, growing up, prejudice and how to overcome it, and agriculture.
Agriculture.
That's the biggest one.
That's a big one today.
Yes. This is a big agriculture episode. Any Aggies in the house, rise up.
Yeah, rise up.
Any true Aggies in the house, rise up.
Future Farmers of America.
FFA. You know who was kids. You know who was a future farmer of America?
Who?
Ted Allred. For real.
Oh, my shout dad out to Ted Allred.
Was a member of FFA because you know where he grew up? On a farm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
My dad's from a very small town. He grew up on a farm that I used to go to every year until my grandparents, rest in peace, passed away and we had to sell it.
Rest in peace.
But yeah, he grew up, you know, doing all the things, milking cows, goodness, riding horses.
Have you ever milked a cow?
I have milked a cow.
Oh my gosh.
But my siblings and I used to always talk about whenever we would just, you know, be living our lives and be like, my car has a check engine light on and I have no idea what that means or what to do. Just like when we were having the most first world city kid problems ever, we would privately be like, do you ever think that dad secretly is like, my kids are such wussies? Which, you know, he's a very kind man. He would never say it. He would never let on. But frankly, like the way he was raised and the skills he had to have to like operate in his world. And then he has these four kids who like a bug got in our house. And I was like, someone else kill it. I'm too scared. He was probably like, you've literally got to be kidding me.
Oh my gosh. Let's get Ted on the podcast. Let's ask him.
Yeah, I'll be like, moment of truth, Ted. Were you embarrassed of me because I, when there was a cricket on our stairs that one time, couldn't put a cup over it and I made Aaron do it for me? To be fair, I was like 9 or 10 at the time. Nowadays, I've gone head to head with a cabinet full of cockroaches. You know that story, right?
No.
You don't know that story?
A cabinet?
I swear I've told this story on this podcast before. So once upon a time, I was a missionary in Argentina. And in our kitchen, we would just like, there would always be cockroaches. Like once every other day, we would find a cockroach like on the floor, on the stove, like crawling up the fridge and have to kill it. And one day we thought, enough is enough. We have to cut this problem off at its source. We have to take it up by the root. We have to go to where the cockroaches live. So we noticed that they were often in the sink. And we thought, they probably live under the sink. So we bought bug spray, which doesn't work on cockroaches. Yeah. I literally will never forget.
I think I learned that on Fairly Odd Parents, that that won't help.
Oh, they will survive the nuclear apocalypse, according exactly. to onwards to world domination. And we went to the store to buy something, and he picked up like mosquito repellent, like some kind of bug spray. Mm. And I said, "That's not going to kill them." And he said, "I know, but it will make them weaker." And then he bought
whoa,
it.
Whoa! It will make them weaker.
We opened the cabinet under the sink. This cabinet is like very dark. So we, you know, had no idea what was waiting for us in there. He sprays the bug spray in the cabinet, and it was Armageddon. So many cockroaches fled in all directions out from under this cabinet. And we were like, they can't leave the kitchen. Have to get them before they leave the kitchen. So we're both wearing shoes.
Whack-a-mole.
Exactly. I have a flip-flop on one hand. I'm holding a butcher knife in the other hand.
A butcher knife?
Because.
Jesus, Mrs. Lovett, my God.
Because we would stomp on the ones that were on the floor. I'd smack with the flip-flop the ones that were on the wall. But sometimes they crawl into like the corner and you can't smack the corner. So I'd take the knife and I'd stab them to death. And
you actually chopped the whole house down?
Yeah, we cut the house. It doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. No, but we whack-a-moled these cockroaches into kingdom come for real. It was crazy. And we are, because it's Argentina, it's like the middle of summer. I think this is like December there, which, yeah. you know, Southern Hemisphere. It's like the middle of summer. We are dripping sweat. We're going on a killing spree. Also, cockroaches can fly, so they're flying mm-hmm. everywhere, but because they're like a little drunk on bug spray, it was like they were drunk drivers, so they kind of like fly and then like crash into the wall and fall. And he was right, the bug spray was a good idea because they were all slower than they normally would have been.
Oh my God.
One of them, I'll never forget, was albino. It was mm-hmm. fully white, a white cockroach.
Aww.
We killed all of them.
I don't think I've ever seen a cockroach that's not a cockroach.
Yeah, I have, like, and I'll never forget it.
Oh my gosh.
We killed all of them. I counted, I think it was something like 27 cockroaches. It was crazy. I do have it in my journal somewhere. We swept up all the dead bodies into one pile. I do have pictures of the pile of dead bodies if you ever want to see it. And then we threw them away. And then we're walking away from the kitchen, walking down the hallway. And he said, "Wait, don't move." I stop. And he smacks my back. There was a cockroach climbing up my back. And then I think we maybe found one like in one of our beds the next morning. Like, since we had gassed their home base, they just had scattered and were just running everywhere.
Scatter!
So I have no fear of bugs anymore now. Like, really, especially even beyond that. In Argentina, I used to like be like, "Oh, something is tickling my back." And I would just like go to scratch it. And I'd be like, "Oh, it's a cockroach." Like, under my shirt, on my bare back. I don't like bugs, but now if there was a cricket on my staircase, I'm handling that myself.
Totally.
So, Dad,
look at you now.
Look at me now, baby.
I love that.
I can take care of myself.
I only ever found, I'm generally a catch and release kind of gal. Mm-hmm. So I cry too hard, too mm-hmm. quickly. But I remember, I only found one cockroach in my apartment in New York. And, you know, the thing is, if you see a cockroach, it's generally like, then you kind of know that more are around. Yes. Like, if you're seeing them, it's a bad sign. So I only ever saw one, but it was so, I did kill it. May he rest in peace, but get the fuck out of my house. I remember it was so, I had to laugh after the fact because I was sitting in the kitchen, like doing something at the kitchen table, and I just see the cockroach just like ding, 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 like slowly walking. And then I swear he turned and like stared at me and like froze in place because he saw that I clocked him. And then he tried to walk away like slower. And I was like, honestly, this kid is funny.
He's got personality. This one's got moxie.
Got moxie. But you know what? So I did kill him. May he rest in peace. And you know what? Those like millipede things, the eyelash bugs in New York. I had never seen those before in my life. I did kill those because they were out for blood. They were trying to kill me.
I do think that would freak me out. I have never seen one of those. Anything with more than 8 legs, I'm not about.
Yeah.
And I do think...
That is not of God.
Yeah, I fully agree. That's a demon on this earth. And so I do think that if I saw a millipede, I would be like...
Yeah.
Oh, I would have to take some calming breaths before I dealt with it.
I think I had to kill one while we were recording the podcast once.
Oh my gosh.
I don't like bugs.
Well, hello everyone. My name is Ian Allred. I'm a Gleek, and I was going to say, like, I don't know where I stand with bugs. Me and bugs, we are like reluctant roommates where I need them around to make rent, but like, we're not friends. Like, we're not going to talk.
No.
That's how I feel about them.
Totally.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? I'm Lena. I'm the president of the FFA in this.
That's true.
This group of the FFA. Like I said, respect bugs. I see a spider in the house and I know that she's gonna take care of the other bugs that are gonna give me trouble. So I let her live. As long as she's not biting me in the damn face.
Yeah.
I'll let her live. When it comes to millipedes, I really can't have you guys around. You really give me the willies. You make me go, ooh. I remember my dad. He would make the funniest. He was so scared of bugs. He would make the funniest noise around like bugs or any critters. He'd go, ooh. Oh my gosh. He hated bugs. So, and I'm also a Gleek. Oh my God. And you know what? I'm also the New York Liberty's number one fan, and they just won the WNBA final last night.
Oh.
It was a tough game. It was a tough game. It was a tough game.
Sure.
But we pulled it out. Thank God. My Heck mental God. Health was hanging on by that string. Not to put that on Sabrina Ionescu's shoulders, but I was nervous. I was nervous. The WNBA is the best thing that could have... I love it so much. It is such drama. Such drama. And they all kiss each other. Hello.
Do they
and
actually,
it's so
I know the two of them are genuinely like dating or married or something.
So across the way, like, you know, there's a group of them. A lot of them are like married to like their college sweethearts. But a few, like, there is like a group of like, I would say like 6 couples who met in the WNBA and like play with each other and also are married and are like passing to each other. And like, you know, when someone fouls against their wife, they like get protective. So that shit is really, it's something. It really makes my heart so happy. Mm-hmm. And that's not happening in the NBA or freaking baseball. Mm-mm. At least not that I'm seeing. I wish it was.
Hey, baseball, maybe start kissing each other and getting protective of each other.
Yeah, totally. And then maybe we'll tune in. I think every sport could maybe have like more of a sexual tension element and maybe I'd enjoy it more.
Everyone needs to be dating the people on their team and they need to be exes with the people on the opposing team. And then I'm there with popcorn.
Yeah.
I'm invested.
Mm-hmm. That happens in the WNBA. And it's genuinely very fun. You know what? Another thing I use to bring down parties.
Yes.
Harsh the vibe. Oh, people will be like, oh, I read that book recently. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Like, what other books are you reading? And they're like, oh, da, 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 da. And they'll say like, I get my books from Audible. And I got to harsh the Audible vibe. Why? Always am harshing it. Because I think that audiobooks should... We
don't
should be
count?
Supporting our... No, I definitely think audiobooks count. Don't put those words in my mouth. I never said that. No, I think we should be supporting the library. I will harsh the vibe of a party so fast. And I'll be like, I just... Like $17 a month when you could support the library for free and have way more books.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, kids. like I harsh the vibe, and then I'll be like, no, I'll take you to the library. It's easy. I'll take you on Tuesday, and then no one takes me up on me taking them to the library to get a library card.
Having fun isn't hard when you have You've got a library card.
I know, and people just don't get it. People don't get
it. That being said, I actively don't have a library card. I tried to like get set up online through like the New York Public Library app, and I just frankly didn't understand it. But I should go because the New York Public Library has a branch that's like 20 blocks from me.
You definitely should. You definitely should. I know that the Brooklyn one and the Queens one too, they do like New York residents can have library cards even if you don't live in those boroughs. So you can get those online. I can talk you through it. But this is a way I harsh vibes at parties. So I'm like, let me tell you how to get a... And I also sign people up for library cards too. So give me your phone. I could do it for you. Another thing I do to at least harsh some sort of vibe at parties.
What?
I disappear.
Booyah. I wish goodbye. You're out of there.
I go home.
See ya.
In college, I literally would walk home from parties and people would like...
You told me this.
Text and call me and be like, where the fuck did you go? And I was like, I'm headed home. Like, I'm done.
Okay, let's unharsh the vibe. Let's talk about something a little more exciting, a little more positive. I don't know. Hopefully this is more exciting and positive. I don't know. What are your thoughts on Halloween? Halloween's coming up. It's a week and a day away from when this drops. Wait, it's a week and a day. It's on a Thursday. Week and a day.
Gosh, I love Halloween. I don't know what I'm going to do yet, though.
I'm in a similar boat.
I'd like to do something. And I'm sure my friend will invite me somewhere, but I don't really know what that is yet. And I have work.
Hey-o. I never liked Halloween. I mean, I always liked Halloween, but it always stressed me out because it's just like a holiday that society doesn't recognize in the way that it recognizes like Christmas.
Yeah.
And so it's just like make the holiday work around our schedule. And so I always felt like I had like huge projects during Halloween or like a ton of homework or I had to work.
Totally.
This year, I got nothing, babe. My show closes days before and then I'm unemployed.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm probably going to go to Queens and trick or treat with my nephew. But here's the issue.
But you can't do that as Demi Moore's character from Substance.
I can and I'm going to. I don't care. Okay, but my 3-year-old nephew and the very kind old people that we will be trick-or-treating to aren't going to be like, oh my gosh, I know Monstro Eliza Sue from The Substance. What a great costume. So I am like, I need to go somewhere where it'll be appreciated, where someone will get the reference.
Yeah.
So obviously he's going to bed early. He's a small child.
He's a baby.
I don't know. I should like probably stay and like watch a movie with my blood relative and his wife. But I might just leave and go somewhere a little more gay where I know that people are going to understand what I'm dressed as.
Yeah. And like, I have always, Halloween also is one of those things too. I feel the same about New Year's where it's like, is this a family holiday or is this the friend holiday? Like growing up, especially, I was like, oh, crap. Like all my friends are doing something, but I also feel a pull to like hang with my parents, you know?
Well, my problem this year is all of the friends are doing something on Saturday on Halloween. And then it's kind of like Halloween day is for family because everyone's working. But my problem is I'm working Halloween and then I have Halloween off. I'm fully in the Catskills on Halloween when everyone's having their parties. So I got to make my own party on Halloween. Yeah. I'm not kidding. I might be rolling up to these places alone just because I want.
That's how you find community. Good for you.
Exactly. I just need someone to be like, oh my gosh, are you Eliza Sue? And if one person says that, I'll be like, okay, I can go home now. I can't
and then maybe
have
get
this
married.
Costume. Maybe that's our meet cute. Is he recognized he had seen The Substance and he recognized it. Speaking of, Andrew McGuire and I got in a very long conversation about The Substance because I saw him today. Because you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And you got to see it.
It's a tough subject. No, girl, I know.
You got to see it.
You are literally telling me. I literally it's a tough subject. I would love to see it.
I said it to him, and I would maybe need to review all the movies I've seen this year, but I do think I stand by it. It's my favorite movie of the year. Mm-hmm. I loved that movie. I also watched so much of it in the fetal position in the theater because it's a lot to take in.
Yeah,
it's a hard watch. And I was fully sideways in the fetal position in my chair. I saw that thing alone. So.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Maybe I should do that.
Yeah, baby. It was a hit.
I can't trust these bitches out here to go see a movie with me.
I almost exclusively see movies alone because my thing is. Yeah,
you live so close to a movie theater too.
Yes. And I'm also like, I just want to see the movie. Like, that's my thing is.
Yeah.
It's a bonus to like go with a friend, but like really, I want to see the movie. So if our schedules line up, awesome, let's go together. If they don't line up, cool, let's like hang out later. I am seeing the movie.
Yeah.
And there are exceptions where if it's a movie that's like really important to our friendship, mm-hmm. like when Mean Girls came out, I waited to see it with a friend because like we had made plans and it was a big deal and we talked about it for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I like waited until we could both go. But just like a movie I saw a trailer for, I'm going and you can jump in if you want, but I'm going whether you're there or not. And that's how I saw The Substance.
I would like to see it. What was the last movie I saw in theaters? You know what I also didn't fucking see in the theaters?
What?
Megalopolis.
Megalopolis, is that out of theaters?
Oh, literally, it was Friday. I woke up and I said, if Megalopolis is playing in any theater within, I was looking in within 100 miles. I'm skipping work to go see it. I went to Eva. Work. I missed it. I really missed it.
That movie was crazy.
God awful.
I went with your friend of mine, EP Tiff. We were like crying. We were laughing so hard at parts. It got to the point that the whole theater was laughing at some sections, which was very vindicating for us because we went because we love bad movies. Bad cinema speaks to us. But we were a little nervous. We didn't want to be like cramping anyone's style. But then the whole theater started laughing and we knew we were in safe company. That movie is crazy. And the craziest part, I don't know why this was insane to me. Chloe Fineman from SNL is in that movie.
What?
Yeah, in the first scene, because she doesn't have any lines until like 15 minutes in. So during the first scene, I leaned over to Tiffany and was like, am I insane or is that Chloe Fineman? And she was like, you're insane. There's no way she's in this movie. And then lo and behold, she started talking. And Tiffany's like, okay, egg on my face. That is none other than SNL's Chloe Fineman in this Francis Ford Coppola movie. That movie's absolutely bonkers.
I'm so upset I missed it. I really can't even express to you.
Is it, am I twisting the knife by talking about it? Do you want to change the subject? We can change the subject.
I kind of do.
What do you want to talk about?
What horror movie character would you most likely marry?
I mean, my
white picket fence, marry children.
Favorite horror movie character, as you know, is Sydney Prescott. I know I'm not into ladies, but I could be into ladies for her. I love her so
honestly, much. Sydney Prescott kicks ass.
She is so cool. I'm literally obsessed with her. There's one thing you forgot about Billy Loomis. I fucking killed him.
I fucking killed him.
Is like maybe my favorite line in any horror movie ever. I'm obsessed with
that
bitch.
I cry every time. It's
also
nuts.
What does she say in number three? When killer number three, no spoilers, is like going off at her about how hard their life was and like all the reasons that they had to kill all these people. And then she goes, oh my gosh, I've heard this shit before. Why don't you take some responsibility? She is so cool. I love her so much.
I love you, Sydney.
So like, I'd maybe marry her. I don't know. Who would you marry? That.
My first thought is Vera Farmiga from
The Conjuring.
The Conjuring.
Baby.
What's her
Maybe I'd marry freaking name? Patrick. What's his face? What's his last
Patrick
name?
Wilson.
Patrick Wilson. He's a
What are their
in those
names
movies.
In that movie?
I don't know. Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga are their names. Literally. In those movies.
Also, I've heard that the people that they play who are real life, who were real mm-hmm. life, like ghost hunters are like kind mm-hmm. of pieces of shit. So in my mind, they're Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga. For real, Vera Farmiga kicks so much ass in the Conjuring movies. I love the Conjuring movies. I think they are such fun. And she, that woman contains multitudes. And also Patrick Wilson, he's so sexy. So
yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, I watched, speaking of just like horror movies, I watched Prom Night the other night. And by the other night, I mean literally a week and a half ago.
The one
ago.
With Brittany Snow?
No, that's a remake. The one with Jamie Lee.
Lee Curtis. Yes.
And I'll say right here, right now, turkey of a movie. Much love, Jamie Lee. Damn. Turkey of a movie.
I never saw it.
But in the third act, there is a 5 minute long dance sequence of Jamie Lee and her boyfriend discoing that fully stops the plot, and I
love that.
At the edge of my seat, I ate it up. That was the best part of the movie by far. Literally, like, so many people have died, and then they're like, anyway, so here's Jamie Lee Curtis dancing to disco. Do-do-do-do-do. That was crazy. That was a good time.
Remember when we watched The Thing?
Oh my gosh.
Someone was saying the other day they don't like that movie, and I was like, how do you not love that movie? We had such a fun time watching that movie. I don't think I've ever laughed that hard watching a movie.
I was going to say, the hardest I've ever laughed in a movie is the scene when they're like... They're like questioning everyone, and one of them is tied up. And the one who's the thing, it makes itself known, and his neck like grows super tall, and then he turns into a monster. I genuinely, it was something because I do think that that's genuinely a good movie. It's not like, I don't know. I think it's a compelling movie.
Yeah.
But it was something, just like the shock of the moment.
Oh.
And how
we did not see that coming.
And how hard they went with the special effects. I was,
and it also, they just like sit there screaming at the thing for like minutes.
I was literally sobbing. I couldn't breathe. Like, I sincerely have never laughed that hard at a movie. That's another thing, which I think I told you this. The big monster reveal in Barbarian was another moment that I started crying. Yeah. I was laughing so hard. Something about a monster, also in The Conjuring. The scene when Vera Farmiga sees the nun for the first time, and the nun is like up on the wardrobe. Something about a monster reveal makes me laugh so hard. Like, takes me out.
I remember when you saw The Conjuring for the first time, and the lady was up on the wardrobe. You laughed your socks off. That was so... And I was pumped. I had seen that movie a couple times before, and I was showing all of you for the first time. And I was ready for you all to be like terrified, and you were not just me. Laughing. It was so not funny. Me.
And it's even like, even stuff that I don't know what it is, even stuff that like I do find scary. It just,
yeah. Oh,
it just takes me out. It tickles me so much for some reason.
I totally get that. Honestly, I feel like genuinely, if I'm scared, I'm laughing. Like, there is not a lot of like, you know, there's some scary movies that are like so scary that I'm really uncomfortable. Uh-huh. But like, if it's like an amount of scary that I like, and it's also more scary than I am usually prepared for, I'm laughing my head off. Like, I really am like, I'm a giggler when I'm scared.
Yeah. Remember, and we don't have to talk about this. We fully talked about it on a past episode, but when we saw Old, which I'll say right here, right now,
yeah,
not scary. But I was laughing so hard that you were like, you have to be quiet. We're in a movie theater.
The thing was, you're one of my favorite people ever, especially when you uncontrollably laugh because your whole body gets into it. You telling me that you're in the fetal position watching The Substance is not surprising to me, because when we saw Old, your legs were like behind your head. Your whole body was laughing.
I did laugh during The Substance, but The Substance also is a movie that's like trying to be funny at times. Mm-hmm. But the fetal position, I was not laughing. I was just like, the imagery on screen was making me so viscerally uncomfortable. Yeah. And I was like,
I get that.
Brutal. Ooh. Brutal. I feel like we talked about this. Did we talk about it on our Halloween Town episode? Go stream on our Patreon, everyone. Do we talk about like our most influential Halloween movies?
We talked about the ones from like our childhood. We didn't really talk about like scary, scary movies that, because I've got like a different, like I have like a group of Halloween movies that I watched as a kid, but then like getting into like when I like, you know, once I started enjoying scary movies, which it took God quite some time. I remember there's like this one movie that is like five Catholic girls that are like in detention, like in like a Catholic school with the guy who plays Hellboy, and he's like the priest. And
David
like
Harbour?
No, the older one.
Oh. I
don't know. But I remember that was like the first scary movie that I saw at a sleepover with friends. Oh,
Ron
my God.
Ron Perlman.
Mm-hmm. And it like kept, it still to this day, I remember like scenes from that movie and I like get so scared. So that was a big one for me. Also, did you ever see The Skeleton Key?
No.
With Kate Hudson? Is that her name?
Sure. Kate Hudson is a person who was
really
on
Glee. Yes, really, 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 really upsetting to my 12-year-old brain.
Okay.
I still haven't seen it since. It was really upsetting to me.
Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, you ever heard of, completely different vibe, The Ghost of Mr. Chicken?
No.
You gotta watch it, girl. It is a classic. That's an Allred Family classic. We used to watch that every Halloween. That movie eats. It's amazing. It's Don Knotts. It's from like the 1960s. And it's Don Knotts. He's the titular Mr. Chicken. He's like a scaredy cat dude. And I literally don't remember how it happens because it's been so long. But he agrees to stay Halloween night in a haunted house to like impress a girl. And it's a house where like all these murders happened on Halloween or something. And he's staying there in the anniversary of the murders.
A murder on Halloween. So cliche.
It actually might not be on Halloween, but it is the anniversary of the murders. And it's a whole like the ghosts are supposed to reenact the murders every year. And he's going to stay there to like impress everyone.
Ew.
And it's scary. it's like fun, spooky in the way that like you watch it with kids and like, it's like spooky enough, but you know, you can watch it with kids, but it also is genuinely so funny.
I love that. That sounds fun.
Ate that up as kids. We would always quote, there is a scene where he gives a press conference about staying in the haunted house. And after every sentence he says, someone in the crowd goes, "Attaboy, Luther! Attaboy, Luther!" And we used to quote that all the time.
I love that. I love that.
Amazing. Ghost Mr. Chicken starring Don Knotts. Everyone check it out. That movie rocks. As far as like scary movies, you ever seen The Others starring Miss AMC herself, Nicole Kidman?
Nicole Kidman. Oh, we loved that movie growing up.
You
that
did? Movie. This is literally why we're friends. I've never met anyone else who's seen that movie.
I literally, that was like the only scary movie I could tolerate as a child. And I would show it to everyone. And they'd be like, it's not scary. And I was like, what do you mean?
The
kids are allergic to sun.
That movie is so,
so
good.
So good. I know.
It's so good. Holy
I love
cow.
That movie. So sad.
We were weirdly really into like Lady in the Water, which
that's crazy, dog. Are kidding me.
Then Lady I found the out water? That everyone hates that movie. And people are like, you know when M. Night Shyamalan really started making shit movies was when he made Lady in the Water.
And you were like,
we were like, what are you talking about? That movie rocks. The little grass dog monsters. That's cool.
I remember I like wasn't allowed to see that movie. In my mind.
Hey.
That's so funny.
It's a banger. There's the moment.
I love that.
There's the moment where there's the guy who like, because that movie is literally so stupid. It's like Paul Giamatti works as the super at an apartment building. And freaking Liv Tyler comes out of the swimming pool from a different dimension. That movie is literally bonkers.
I love it.
But Liv Tyler is like, these weird grass dogs are like going to come from my dimension and try and kill everyone. But there's all these people who fill certain roles that, like, if they all work together, will defeat the grass dogs. And it's like the healer. And I literally don't remember any of the other ones. But one of them is the prophet. And it's someone who, like, you know, receives inspiration and can figure out what's happening. And I remember I thought it was so funny. There is a scene where they find out the prophet is M. Night Shyamalan's son. Because, of course, he's in the movie.
Of course.
His character's son. And he receives inspiration by reading cereal boxes. But hey, it works. There's a scene where he is like reading. He's reading the cereal box and he's like, you know, saying whatever the heck the prophecy is. Mm-hmm. And this woman goes, oh my God, he's getting the word of God from a cereal box. And like, that was the height of comedy to me.
I love that.
I haven't seen that movie in probably 15 years, but I do think if I watched it now, I would still like it.
I'm sure. I love that. I would watch it with you.
And there's the one character, I was fascinated by this, whose whole deal is that he only works out half of his body. And he's like, I'm like a scientist. And so he's got like one buff arm and one buff leg.
That is so funny.
So crazy. The movie is so crazy.
Oh my God.
A classic. A Halloween classic. Everyone loves Lady in the Water.
Everyone loves Lady in the Water.
Come on.
I was just telling someone about this today, but I remember, I still haven't seen the rest of this movie, but when I was like 14, some friends came over and we watched The Ring in my basement.
Mm-hmm.
And I like so upset. And my mom came barreling down the stairs and she opened the door and she was like, I do not like the energy that you guys are bringing into my house. If you want to do this, you do this at someone else's house. She's like, I won't have it here. Because we were freaking out and screaming and like so upset. And she was like, I don't like it. You get it out of my house. Haven't finished The Ring.
That's a core childhood experience because I could not tell you what movie we were watching. But I watched a movie at my best friend's house as a kid. And their mom came down and turned it off and said, we will not watch this kind of movie in my house.
Yeah, seriously. And I mean, my mom, in my mind, you know, my mom's not like, I think she is like regular religious, but she was like, this energy is like, it is not of God. Like she was like, this is not right. Like the way, like you're not doing this here ever again. Like she really like felt like the energy was like evil. Okay. So I still haven't finished The Ring.
Speaking of The Ring, first and foremost, I have to make an addendum. It's not Liv Tyler in Lady in the Water. It's Felipe Braceless Howard. I got my Nepo baby swapped. Did you listen to that Spotify album I sent you? What's Your Favorite Scary Movie? You have to. Everyone stream What's Your Favorite Scary Movie, the album on Spotify by, I want to give them a shout out. What's their names? Alden Dirk and Shannon Sheridan. It is so funny. Alex sent it to me a week ago, and I think I've listened to the entire album 6 times since then. Every song on it is just like inspired by another horror movie or just like horror movie trope. There's one called Girl in My TV, where it's like a girl at a party and she like makes eyes with another girl across the room and she's like, oh my gosh, should I like talk to her? Like, I think she's really into me. And she finds out like, oh, she's like an actress in indie films. A lot of people saw her last picture. That's so exciting. And she asks her name and her name is Samara. And it's her like running into Samara at a TV at a party. Oh, it's so stupid. But my favorite song on the entire album is called We'll Be Right Back. And it is like a sexy, you know, let's get it on duet. But it is sung between two characters in a cabin in the woods where a murderer is killing all their friends, saying like, I know that everyone's dying, but like, what if we snuck off and started doing it? We'll be right back.
I feel like I have heard that song.
That song was on my story. I posted it on my story.
Okay. Yeah. Then yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a frequent watcher of your stories.
That song is so, so funny. And it has lyrics in the second verse that's about like, I'm moaning so loud we won't hear someone sneaking up on us.
And then,
is that someone breathing? Please tell me you heard that. No, I didn't. Okay, case closed. Let's get back to taking off our clothes. It's so funny.
That is so funny.
It's an excellent album. Everyone should stream it. It's very fun. I love that. Also, one of their songs went viral. So you maybe have seen it on TikTok called Killer's Walk, which is like a kind of like a club music sounding. Mm-hmm. Sounds like you're walking on a runway. But it's about how killers walk, and yet they always catch up to the people that they're...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Victims run, killers walk. It doesn't matter how slowly he may stalk. Ugh, great
That's
album.
That's awesome.
Everyone check it out.
Who do you think you are in like a horror movie trope?
Okay, so we got like the dumb jock. We got the like promiscuous girl.
Slutty blonde.
Uh-huh. We got the virginal final girl.
Mm-hmm.
We got the like jokester guy. Mm-hmm. Who else would you say is there? We got the killer, of course.
The jokester guy. And then I would always, I generally see like a smart guy. Like a nerd.
Of the names that we just listed, I think I'm more the smart guy of those that we just said.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
For you?
For you.
Oh, for me?
Yeah.
I think I'm the slut who dies first.
Booyah. Good for you, baby.
I don't know. I think for years I was like, you know, I think I have a jacket with like Final Girl like painted on the back somewhere. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if I painted that or something else, but I was definitely like, you know, really into the Final Girl thing. But I just don't think I'm smart enough to like what? Outsmart, because like in specifically a horror movie setting, like those are the girls that like outwit, outplay, outlast, you know? Yeah. What I mean? And I get so overwhelmed.
Oh my gosh.
By kissing.
Okay, no, that's fair. You are like, I know some stuff's going on, but what if we made out and then your axe?
Yeah,
I think I'm like, I don't know how. Oh my gosh, not to bring it back to Scream. But like, I feel like a Randy, but I feel like Randy is like the nerd archetype, but he's specific to Scream because he's so meta that he's just like, here's every pop culture reference possible.
I like that though.
Yeah.
I like that. I do. I think I can't think of any examples that fits in other movies, but I see that for you in any.
Yeah.
Case where you're like over, like maybe even like in times like over analyzing the situation and being really meta about it. And like, that's when you're caught slipping.
But I feel like I don't know if that trope exists because
it
the whole deal
me.
With Scream is it's so meta. I don't know if like there's a meta character or anything else.
But there are like, I feel like in movies, like the people who are trying to like really hard to solve what's going on, that they're like survival isn't even like top of their priority. They're trying to like fix shit. You know what I mean? Or like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like maybe it's not like the meta aspect, but like,
so it is like the scholar.
I'm on
our horror on Reddit right now.
And I mean, I think of like, it's the Cabin in the Woods movie. Where
exactly.
Like they're all, I love that movie.
Yeah, which of that I do think I'm the scholar.
Also, I contain multitudes.
I think I'm the scary man that you meet in Act 1.
Mm-hmm.
That then in Act 3 helps you and then dies.
Yep, totally. Where you're like, totally red herring. Like you think something is going on, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I would spoil one movie, but I love that aspect of that movie so much I won't spoil it.
I mean, I'll spoil a movie that's 40 years old. The dude in Friday the 13th. There's like some guy who like lives on the grounds, and the whole movie they're like, this guy lives on the grounds and he's probably crazy. And then he's not, and then he dies. R.I.P.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the surly old woman who works at the gas station just outside of town.
Yeah, who's when, like you crazy, shouldn't go there.
Or the crazy teens come in and I'm like, A, slut-shaming them, B, being like, get the fuck out of town, yeah. You guys, you're literally going to die. Yeah. There's murderers out here. Yeah. I only have immunity because I have to clock in tomorrow. Like,
so here's why I'm like stressed about Halloween this year is that I was such a fan of my costume last year that I'm like, I don't think I'll ever top it.
Yeah.
My costume last year specifically being Pamela Voorhees.
Yeah.
I was so proud of that Pamela Voorhees costume. Not that anyone even got it. I literally fully went to Chipotle.
As Pamela Voorhees? Alone?
Makeup. Yes, of course. Makeup and wig. And no one said a word. It's hard to live amongst Philistines. But I thought that costume was so funny.
Yeah.
That Eliza Sue can only hope to compare.
Yeah.
Tragically. But I'm going to try.
I still don't know what I'm going to be for Halloween if I do something. My friend is being a sunny angel. She's like, that is so fun. I wish.
It is very fun.
I don't know. I could also just be Barbie.
Hey.
I feel like that's like textbook lazy girl costume. Just like wear pink and be blonde.
My sister used to say when we would go to church Halloween parties and she didn't want to wear a costume and people, she's
that
like,
she...
Mm-hmm. She was a princess in disguise, is what she'd say.
Oh, that's very good. I thought you were going to say that she would do like the Wednesday Addams, like...
I'm a homicidal maniac. They look like everyone else.
Like everyone else.
Those are the best movies ever made. No one is talking about the 90s Addams Family movies starring Christina Ricci, Angelica Houston.
Everyone is talking about those movies.
They are...
Oh, I could be Debbie.
Oh my gosh, you should be Debbie, except for Debbie. I literally... love those movies so much. Debbie, all of this I could forgive. But pastels?
Pastels.
Like, much love to the original comic and TV show. That's the definitive Addams Family.
Yeah.
Those movies are amazing.
And me when I play Alice Beinecke.
And you when you play Alice Beinecke in the revival of the Addams Family musical.
Catch me off Broadway in 10 years.
That's actually like, I've never been into the Addams Family musical. In fact, I had never even listened to it in whole until literally today.
Really?
Because there's no topping the 90s version.
No.
And I remember when that musical was coming out, I was really excited about it because I was like deep in my Addams Family phase. And I was doing so much research. And then the more research I did, the more that I was like, oh, this isn't quite what I want it to be.
Yeah.
And so I just never got into it. However, today, really sitting and experiencing the whole thing, it's better than I gave it credit for. It's a lot better than I gave it credit for.
It's so different. It is so different.
My big thing, which this is literally so stupid, is Wednesday Addams is my favorite character, and I love Wednesday Addams. Because she is like a preteen girl who is just so dark. So the second that they were like, Wednesday's an adult now, I said, I'm checking out. This isn't interesting to me. I want Wednesdays to be 11 years old.
Yeah. Totally.
But I have to say, having actually given it a shot today, the conceit of like meet the parents, Wednesday is dating a normal guy with like conservative middle class parents and they are meeting the Addams. It's a very interesting and
that's
funny
really
concept.
Fun.
And they get some fun stuff out of it. And I judged it too harshly.
Also, you should definitely see it. One of my favorite parts of the show is like, they have like a ghost chorus.
Oh, no. The use of the ancestors.
The ancestors, yeah.
Is really good. Yeah. It is really, really good.
It's really fun. But I mean, it's even tonally, it is so different than the 90s movies.
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
Yeah. But I... That's Andrew Lipa, which I didn't know. He wrote some bangers.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, one normal night, Wednesday, one normal night. That's cool.
Oh, I went through my Addams Family. Well, I mean, I went through so many different versions of my Addams Family phase, but especially I remember the musical came to town to Utah and me and my mom went and saw it. And I was like, so far up that production's ass. Like, I really, really, really enjoyed it. And I literally, like, was singing Pulled like, you know, I was a 13-year-old girl because I was one. You know what I mean? Like I was so into that show. I really enjoyed it.
I was too harsh on that show. Mm-hmm. I do stand by that Wednesday on Netflix can be a good show. Mm-hmm. People can really enjoy it and they are right to enjoy it. In my opinion, it's not the Addams Family. Like it's like so mm-hmm. far removed from what the Addams yeah. Family is about that I'm like, just do an original piece.
Yeah.
Like that show really rubbed me the wrong way.
I hear you.
In my opinion, they fully misunderstood the source material. Yeah. Continue, sorry.
No, I've only seen the first episode, but I was like, I couldn't wrap my head around the rest of the cast, like the rest of the students. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I want to see Morticia and Gomez yes. and Pugsley and
the family dynamic.
Like that's, I like the good old fashioned Addams Family values. You know what I mean? I like the family hanging out. So
yeah. So the reason that I experienced the Addams Family musical today is because Zach Faust, Sue Sylvester, was having a birthday celebration where he was having like people read the Addams Family and just like have mm-hmm. like a reading of it.
I love that.
It was very fun. I had a great time. But he was saying at the beginning that he's like, I love the Addams Family. And he said what he loves about it, which I was like, yes, this is exactly why I like it too, is they're, you know, like dark and weird and spooky and gloomy. Mm-hmm. But more than that, they are a family. Like they all really love each other mm-hmm. and they all really care about each other. And despite mm-hmm. how weird and creepy they are, they genuinely have so much love. And that's what's so fun about it, that it's like, it challenges your perception of what a family is. And what like being a good person means, because it's all these people that go against every societal norm and yet their relationship with each other is stronger than any of the quote unquote normal people around them.
Totally.
And so
they're like a beautiful multi-generational family.
Yes.
They have like really, I mean, the Gomez Morticia relationship is like genuinely positive and mm-hmm. like one to look to when like forming your own relationship. That's a great example.
Yeah. And like you said, Wednesday is just like, where's the family? Like, I want the
Addams
Family.
That's the charm to me is the family dynamic. Yeah, I totally agree.
The charm to me is the family dynamic. And then also the Addamses rubbing up against suburbia. Like, what's compelling about the Addams Family mm-hmm. is one, the family dynamic, and two, them existing in like white bread America.
Yeah.
And how white bread America reacts to them.
Yeah.
So to remove Wednesday from the family and then be like, now she's in a school where everything is spooky.
Yeah.
The two core things I like about the property are absent.
Yeah.
I want her going to summer camp in the Catskills.
Exactly.
With all these privileged white kids. That's mm-hmm. a compelling story.
I want to see someone who maybe by society's standards is like the perfect person actually be the evil person here.
Yes.
I want to see Debbie mm-hmm. Joan Cusack fuck everything up and like challenge your perception of what like evil is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And then even like Harmony from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the mm-hmm. mean, like the popular girl at the summer camp.
Exactly.
And you see like her parents' relationship and then her and how they all interact with each other. And they are mm-hmm. like the white, very beautiful upper class family who's like very mm-hmm. put together. And then you see in contrast the way the Addamses react to each other. Those movies are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
They're the best movies ever made. Everyone go watch them. They might be on Netflix. They used to be on Netflix. They might still be on Netflix. Should we read an email?
Yeah.
All right. Booyah, booyah, booyah. We got an email here. Maybe you remember that on this podcast, we sometimes talk about a TV show called Glee. And we recently talked about all of the mash-off episodes, all the boy v. girl / New Directions v. Trouble Tones mash-off episodes. We got an email. Whoa, hello, speech impediment. We got an email here from Jacqueline. And it says as following. Hi, Ian and Lena. Hope you're both doing well. Whoa, hello. Hi, Ian and Lena. Hope you're both doing well. I want to apologize for this email being all over the place. I just had a lot of thoughts after this week's episode. First of all, I'm writing you today in defense of Old Town Rock and Roll / Danger Zone. I personally think it's as good, if not better, than the rest of the boy mashups, and I controversially think it has the potential to beat Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend / Material Girl. Maybe I'm biased because I have actually seen Top Gun and not Moulin Rouge. Hey, you got us there, Jacqueline.
You got us there.
You really got us there. Or maybe because it's fronted by Blam, and I'm a big Blammy. But I think, genuinely, the performance is so much fun to watch. They all look so good in their outfits, and the choreo was so silly. The revving up of Artie's wheelchair tire, sliding across the floor in socks, laying on the ground with their arms out like planes. Come on! Plus, like you said, Diamond / Material Girl is barely even a mashup. Old Town Rock and Roll / Danger Zone, you are very beautiful to me. Next thing. I was wondering if either of you have seen any of the clips of Darren and Chris performing at Elsie Fest. This year, it was a Gleek's paradise. Darren sang Cough Syrup, a rock cover of Teenage Dream. He sang Moving Out with Cordova Street. He sang something with Telly Lung and Max Adler. And he even accompanied a performance of Granger Danger. What a cool guy. Videos from Elsie Fest were all over my Instagram and TikTok for an entire week. And then, last random thing I had to say, I recently watched Vitamin D and a few other season one episodes with my roommate, who always kind of thought Glee was a little dumb, but had never actually seen it, and I swear she was laughing at every other line. Her favorite character is now Sue, and even more vindicating, I watched the pilot with my mom today, and she laughed so hard we had to pause the episode until she stopped laughing.
Oh, I love that.
The line that took
her
out...
That's my favorite thing.
The line that took her out was Finn saying... I had a football scholarship to where I love that people. I had a football
scholarship.
They're
going to take away your football scholarship. Huh? What do you mean?
I had a football scholarship. I love that people can become Gleeks even in the year 2024. Season one has that effect. Okay, that's all for me this time. Maybe one day I will write in a long message about how much your podcast means to me. But for now, just know it means a lot. Looking forward to hear you talk about Thanksgiving again, Jacqueline. You better believe it. Let's get Thanksgiving on the podcast for every theme. Next theme is episode titles that start in T. Then we're going to do all the Isabel Wright episodes. Then we're going to do every episode that features Willem from Drag Race, which is just one. We're really going to find every way that we can talk about Thanksgiving.
Let's have a kiki, y'all.
Lock the doors tight. We're going to talk about every episode following a Quinn Fabre appearance. Thanksgiving. Hey. I fully believe that so many Glee haters just like have never seen the show.
They haven't seen it. Yeah. They've just seen clips.
Yeah. Or they've seen like season five.
Totally. Or they like are passing by and they like see singing and they don't really know like the comedy of it, or you know they're just like passing by and I'm like, you really have to sit down and listen with your ears, like what the heck is going on.
And I also think that like so many people just take the clips of the show that they see at face value, and it's like, no, it's in on the joke. That people be like, oh,
this I wish scene I could is... go back and shake my 2021 self and be like, girl, get in on the joke. You're thinking about it too hard.
I remember one time, this is like trauma for me because I literally remember this from 2011. There's an episode where Quinn, it actually might be season three, when she asks him if he can babysit Beth with him. Or maybe it's season one when she babysits Kendra's kids. I don't remember. But she asks Puck, she's like, what are you doing tonight? And he says, I don't know, probably what I do every Friday, just hang outside the gas station until I can find like a couple older guys to buy me
beer.
Yeah. And my sister overheard and was like, oh my gosh, that's so stupid. What show are you watching?
Yeah.
And at the time, you know, I was like a little 15-year-old. I didn't speak up for myself, but I want to be like, yeah, that's the joke.
Yeah,
they're making like
this guy's.
Like, the fact that that's really pathetic is the joke. He's a huge loser. The show is in on the joke. It drives me crazy. This show is funny and it's not funny in spite of itself. It's supposed to be just funny.
Yep, exactly.
Yep.
Gosh, honestly, and what you say too about old town rock and roll?
Maybe old time, I think.
Old time? I think I'm mixing it up with Old Town Road. Honestly, your points are valid. If I had seen either of those movies, I think I might enjoy it a little more. And I like the theatricality that you bring up. I think those are good points.
No,
I can respect that.
Those are good points. We were definitely maybe too harsh on it. But also,
I just love girls.
Genuinely, and this is literally so unfair. One, because Samuel Larson like is talented, and two, because he's literally not even fronting the number. But when I think of that number, I literally only think of Joe in the Maverick and, like, outfit.
There's like a shot of him from the back too, like being a plane, and I'm like, this idiot. Like,
boring. I'm totally tuning out of this one.
Like honk shoe.
Literally so rude.
I know. I mean, I was just watching
Heart
today.
Cause same. I was like, who's this guy? Get him off my
screen. I was like, huh? Teen Jesus. Never heard of him. But I was like, God, we really raked this guy over the coals.
But I mean, it's not unwarranted. And I don't think so,
but I don't know that it's Samuel Larson's fault.
No, I think
fault.
It's that the writers don't care. The writers did not care to give him a crumb. Too.
No. And I think the Glee Project is at its core fucked up, and they never gave anyone an acting prompt ever. So they were like casting these 17-year-olds. This isn't a Glee Project podcast.
I do have to switch devices because my computer is dying.
I do have to go to bed.
Oh, should we just wrap this up then?
I think so.
Okay. I have seen the videos at LC Fest to answer that question. It was very tender. It was very exciting. I love Darren Criss. Despite the things I've said about Blaine in the past, I'm a big Darren Criss fan. I think he seems like the coolest guy ever.
Totally. I know those videos are so cute. It was also that cute guy from the Jennifer Lawrence movie who sang the song who sang Granger Danger, and I love him. He's so fun.
Andrew Barth Feldman, babe.
Andrew Barth Feldman, sorry.
I literally was like, Josh Hutcherson.
Yeah, it was Josh Hutcherson singing.
Straight but not narrow. Granger he knows Danger. What Star Kid is.
He does. No, and then I loved the Blam moment. That made my heart so happy.
All right. Well, I'm literally at 6% and it's dropping as we
speak. Literally, it's 2 hours past my bedtime. So I think
let's out.
Let's leave.
See ya. Tune in next week when we're talking about the non-Christmas holiday episodes. Day before Halloween, very topical. We're going to be talking about Rocky Horror Glee Show, Happy Halloween. We're going to be talking about, what the heck is that episode called? Silly Love Songs, Happy Valentine's Day. Heart, Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Thanksgiving again. And also, LOL, so funny, I forgot that this episode was about Valentine's Day. We're talking about I Do. Add that to the list. Tune in next week as we chat about those episodes and we celebrate Halloween with some Glee holiday cheer. Love you all so much. Thanks for being here. If you have thoughts and want to email them to us, you can at recoveringgleek@gmail.com. If you want to hear us talk about Halloween Town, subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/recoveringgleek. And have the silliest week of your whole life.
I hope you laugh so much. Seriously, you guys.
I hope you laugh harder than I laughed at the nun reveal when I saw the Conjuring.
Honestly, I hope you laugh harder than when Ian and I saw The Beach That Makes You Old.
When Lena and I went to The Beach That Makes You Old.
When we personally went to The Beach That makes you old. Love you guys. Here is a bonus kiss on your bonus forehead. I'll see you later.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.